This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. There's a way to commemorate special days in your life and keep yourself warm while you're doing it.
How I understood the temperature blanket was tracking important moments in your life. Oh, that's how that how the weather was that day? I never would have thought about that.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Mark Scott, Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Administration, is resigning this month. As Jack Walker reports, Governor Jim Justice has made public the reasons why.
At a press briefing Wednesday, Justice said Scott chaired a conservative super PAC while in office. Super PACs, or political action committees, can fundraise for causes and endorse candidates. The conservative policy action did both leading up to this year's primary election in West Virginia. It's illegal for officials to use public resources for political purposes. Yet during the call, Justice confirmed that Scott's resignation came after questions arose over whether he solicited campaign funds on, quote, government time.
That's why I said that I believe that he got out probably over his skis and maybe messed up.
Justice said Scott left his position willingly to avoid creating controversy for his administration. His resignation takes effect July 31. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
A workers' union is taking a critical look at broadband deployment across the country. As Chris Schultz reports, one West Virginia county is used as a case study in their report.
Putnam County received an overall low score, only 6 out of 20 points, on the Communication Workers of America's report card for broadband projects funded by the American Rescue Plan. Kaylee Gao, Strategic Research Associate for CWA, says that as ARPA funds for broadband are spent, it gives communities an idea of how incoming funds from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act will be spent.
We all have an interest in seeing that this money fulfills its promise, connects all Americans, and also does so in a way that creates good jobs, in a way that's publicly transparent and accountable, and in a way that creates quality, long-lasting infrastructure.
Putnam County scored well for investing in fiber optics, for high wages and hiring local workers, but missed out on points for transparency and affordability. Visit our website at wvpublic.org for more on this report. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
The U.S. Supreme Court may decide if West Virginia Medicaid is required to cover gender-affirming surgeries. Emily Rice has more.
A Medicaid patient sued the state, arguing the 2004 West Virginia law that bans Medicaid from covering gender-affirming surgeries is discriminatory. In April, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit agreed and ruled that West Virginia could not deny Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming surgeries. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey announced Thursday he has filed a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court to challenge that decision.
Now, this is a case that we think should be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court because it's interpreting a major federal law, the Medicaid Act, and it presents a nationally important constitutional question, whether Medicaid or any state-related insurance program must cover all transgender care.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Crocheters started making temperature blankets as a way to document daily life, but the tradition of telling a story through textiles goes way back. Folkways reporter Wendy Welch has this story.
When Sierra Pike crochets, she feels peaceful, which is ironic because she crochets on the couch at night as her husband and sons race around the house shouting and playing.
I crochet to help me relax and everything during the evening because I'm a working mom and I just love to be able to sit with them, enjoy their sounds while I also regress into my own little world.
Sierra lives in rural Retreat, Virginia. She is creating, or more accurately commemorating, a world within her crocheting. Sierra is making a temperature blanket. Each row represents a day in the year she has chosen to capture in yarn.
How I understood the temperature blanket was tracking
important moments in your life. Oh, that's how the weather was that day? I never would have thought about that, but that was really special. Like, it's just, you can kind of look back and they're all different colors. They're all the same colors in each robe, but it all tells a story.
Some crafters stick to colored stripes rendered in single crochet, the simplest of stitches. Others choose more complicated patterns like granny squares or rippled rows. What the blanket records can be as casual or deeply layered as its creator chooses. For the blanket Sierra is working on now, she chose to dive deep. She uses a raised puff stitch that looks like a little pillow to commemorate
date nights, games that my boys have played, things that I know are going to, I'll be able to look back and just be like, oh, that was a really special day. The one that I really wish I would have put on there, we saw an otter in a local pond. So he's probably getting a charm.
Charms or buttons can mark special events. During the COVID years, people wove black ribbons along a row to commemorate a loss. Many still do this, plus use white, blue, or pink to note family additions. Textile storytelling is common to most cultures, but Sierra got inspired after watching a documentary about Aztecs and Incas weaving and knotting symbols into clothing and calendars. Veronica Rodriguez is a Spanish professor at the University of Virginia's College at Wise. Her studies include how ancient Mesoamerican cultures used symbols in clothing.
Textiles were used to record history, right? How the colors meant something, the design meant something.
Veronica joins Sierra in seeing temperature blankets as part of a long-standing cross-cultural tradition of people using textiles to tell stories.
And, you know, I think it's great that people are using those fabrics to tell a story because it's handmade. And it's art, and they learn from their grandma and their mom, and yada, you know, it's an ancestral sort of thing. And I think that's something that we don't appreciate. So using that art making to tell stories, I think is pretty important.
The oldest preserved example of a story on cloth is arguably Europe's Bayeux Tapestry, completed in 1077 to commemorate the Battle of Hastings. In Appalachia, telling stories using quilts appeared with the first settlers, while indigenous weaving and embroidery depicting community events were here long before they arrived. Chris Knight sees making temperature blankets as a combination of family documentation and affection. A retired pharmacist from Wise, Virginia, Chris made temperature blankets for her husband and brother, chronicling significant years in their lives.
It increases the thoughtfulness of the gift when you can say, I made this for you and I chose this year because it meant something in your life. So it's not just a blanket to put over you, but it has a little bit of meaning behind it. And I hope that you realize I was thinking of you with every row I put in the blanket.
That was Chris Knight speaking with Folkways reporter Wendy Welch. To hear the rest of that story and more, listen to Inside Appalachia Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Some fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today, highs in the 70s and 80s, partly cloudy tonight, lows in the 50s and 60s, mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the 80s, and sunny on Sunday with highs in the 80s and 90s. This week's Encore episode of Mountain Stage was recorded last year in Franklin, Tennessee, during the first of two shows at the Franklin Theater. Host Kathy Matea welcomed new grass pioneer and mandolinist Sam Bush. He has performed on mountain stage more than 8 times. Bush was joined on this week's show by Chris Brown on drums, Wes Corbett on banjo, Stephen Mogan on guitar, and Todd Parks on bass. Our song of the week comes to us from Bush, I'm Still Here, from his 2022 studio album, Radio John, Songs of John Hartford. That was Sam Bush and friends performing I'm Still Here on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Eric Douglas produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.